Well, I'll call me.
Are we on?
Yep, yep. We'll call a Game, Fish, and Forestry Division to order. And we're here to take testimony today on House File 2285, which is constitutional dedication or proposed constitutional dedication of sales tax for a variety of different purposes. Members, informationally testifiers, we have a list of about 20 testifiers roughly that have signed up. Over by the desk or by the cart is a sign-up sheet for those who intend to testify. And what we're going to do at this hearing, we will adjourn at 4:30 or when we run out of testifiers, if that happens to occur earlier. We aren't going to take any amendments today. We'll have questions and testifying, and then we will reconvene at a time we haven't yet determined to take any additional testifiers that are signed up. So what I'm saying is that if you want to testify and you don't get to testify today because of people that are on the list, you need to be on that list, because after that list leaves here, we're not going to take any more testifiers, even if it's tomorrow. We're going to limit the testifying to 4 minutes, and that's each, 4 minutes each. So the first thing we're going to do is, any members have any questions about the process? So, Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're not going to meet, when we're done at 4:30, it's not possible we'll meet again tonight, is it?
That is correct.
Okay,
we will not be meeting tonight. We will give everyone adequate notice so that they can plan to be here and be here to offer amendments or discuss amendments or defend the bill as is. All members will be treated equally in whether you're for or against amendments. And we won't be taking any more testimony after we finish the list. One more time. If you're going to testify on this bill in this committee, and it happens that you don't get to testify today because of time, you want to make sure your name is on the list so that we can call upon you the next day, because the list will be the end of the list. So with that, any further questions by the members on the process that we're going to embark upon? Being none, Representative Hansen moves House File 2285 to be recommended to pass and referred to the Environment and Natural Resources Policy Committee. Chairman Eakin. Representative Hansen, to the bill.
Thank you, Chairman Dill, and members of both committees. I'm pleased to be here today to speak on behalf of House File 2285. Majority Leader Sertich could not be here and has asked me to present the bill on his behalf. A short summary of the bill before I get into it. This bill represents a framework for discussion about a constitutional amendment to dedicate 3/8 of 1% of an increased sales tax to natural resources and cultural heritage. It was crafted in consultation with several House chairs and stakeholders. The main focus is the dedication to protecting our state's water resources and restoring natural habitat for wildlife. If passed by the voters in the 2008 general election, it would raise approximately $280 million to be allocated as follows: 25%, or $70 million, to restore, preserve, and enhance fish and wildlife habitat; 25%, $70 million, to protect and restore surface and groundwater; 15%, $42 million, to support the state's parks and trails; 15%, $42 million, to protect drinking water; 10%, $28 million, to enhance cultural heritage, arts, historical society, and museums; and then 10%, about $28 million, flexible for the above purposes. Our approach to this bill is to build the broadest coalition possible. The more people that support it, the better chance it has to pass on the ballot in 2008. We are not pitting one organization or need against another. It's almost 5 years ago now that I had worked on a ballot initiative in Dakota County. That effort brought people together, rural, urban, and suburban, farmers, suburbanites, housewives, environmentalists, hunters, anglers, all working together to pass a referendum to protect open space and farmland in Dakota County. I have that experience that sticks in the back of my mind as we bring this bill forward and as I present this today. Our goal here with this amendment, with this proposed constitutional amendment, is to assemble a coalition to bring folks together to protect the jewels of our state, our natural resources, our drinking water. I believe that there have been many amendments proposed, there have been many bills offered. This bill offers the best chance to move forward and to pass, have the voters of Minnesota pass a constitutional amendment in 2008. And with that, I can go through the bill if you'd like, or I can be available for questions.
Let's just, Representative Hansen, and very quickly as we possibly can, questions on the bill from the members. Representative Moe.
Representative Hansen, I know the answer to this question, but does this bill allow for state matching money for habitat acquisition or other more prescriptive uses for dedicated funding?
Mr. Chair, Representative Moe, I believe that this bill gives a lot of flexibility to future legislatures of past in to provide dollars for habitat, to protect water, to provide whatever future legislatures direct. So the answer is it gives the flexibility for future legislatures to do that. That we can match local dollars, we could choose to purchase and protect areas, we can take different programs over that 25-year period. Legislatures can choose because we have given kind of broad categories where dollars can be spent.
Further questions? Thank you, Representative Hansen. Okay, I'm going to make it a few more people are in the room. First testifier is going to be Mr. Dugan from Pheasants Forever, so if you come up. If you aren't on the list to testify, the tablet is up at the tray there with the page. You must be on the list to testify, and you must be on the list by the time we adjourn if you want to testify tomorrow, assuming we don't get through the entire list tonight. But we will not be adding anyone else. Mr. Dugan, you not here? Okay, then let's go to Jim Cox, Minnesota Waterfowl Association.
He's looking for Joe Dugan.
Maybe we should just make a motion to pass the bill. How about Ryan Heiniger from DU? Come on up, Ryan. Who, Ryan? Ryan's here, and he should be with his wife, maybe.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Is it true your wife is due any minute?
She is, and actually that's going to be one of the things I want to touch on briefly, and I will try to be brief. For the record, my name is Ryan Heiniger. I'm the Director of Conservation Programs for Ducks Unlimited in Minnesota. Many of you know that Ducks Unlimited is a nonprofit conservation organization dedicated to the restoration and protection of wetlands throughout North America. This year we're celebrating our 70th anniversary, which marks a tremendous milestone and a lot of vision on the part of our founders. And that vision is something that we're also asking you guys to consider and to push forward with today regarding dedicated funding. I thought long and hard about any kind of wise words of wisdom to share with this committee, and I couldn't really think of anything, but the year 2036 came to mind. And of course, that is the year that would mark the 25th anniversary if dedicated funding passed in November 2008 and got enacted in 2009. At that time, my new boy or girl, depending on what we end up having in a matter of hours or days, will be 27 years old. And I hope at that time, I'm still in Minnesota, and I hope at that time that we still have ample amounts of wildlife habitat, clean water to fish and swim. And that's what we're here today to talk about, is this investment from the state for the future, for my kid and for our grandkids. Back to the organization that I represent, our position has been and continues to be advocating for 1/8 of 1% for fish and wildlife habitat conservation and 1/8 for clean water initiatives to test, monitor, and restore our Sky Blue Waters. Last year, our board came out with a position to support an increase in the state sales tax to do so. We were one of the first conservation organizations to adopt that position. I'll leave you with this thought, based in part from the discussion in the Senate Tax Committee this morning, and that is that giving the voters of Minnesota the chance to decide on this, and that's what we're ultimately asking about, that is the ultimate form of democracy. With that, I would take any questions.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good luck, Director Heiniger, on your hours or days in the forefront. Just have a real short question. Would you prefer that this funding include the arts component, or would you prefer it be on the ballot without the arts component?
If the other components are necessary to make it pass, then that's a decision that the legislature will have to decide.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair. You know, I understand, but I would like to just know, do you prefer it to have the arts in it, or do you prefer to not have the arts in it?
We prefer to have it on the ballot in 2008, Mr. Chair, and with all due respect to Representative McNamara. So,
if it could be on a, Mr. Chair and Mr. Heiniger, if it could be on a ballot either way, would you prefer it to have the arts or not have the arts?
Mr. Heiniger.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara. In a perfect world, I think a conservation-only bill would be ideal, but we know that this is not a perfect world. The analogy that I've used is the federal farm bill being somewhat similar in nature. That contains an awful lot of provisions and funding that are not conservation-related, but what we advocate for and what we're interested in is the conservation provision of the federal farm bill, and that's the way that we approach this particular piece of legislation.
Thank you very much. Good luck. Good luck with the new arrival. We'll take Mr. Johnson from the Minnesota Deer Hunters at this time. Mr. Kelleher, you don't look like Mr. Johnson, but I know you are closely affiliated with Mr. Johnson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Tom Kelleher. I'm here representing the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. I could make very short, brief comments, or we could reserve Mr. Johnson's time for your next hearing, whatever you prefer.
We'll take your brief comments.
I thought so, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Kelleher. We represent the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. The Deer Hunters Association has supported this each of the last, I think this is the fourth biennial go-round of this issue. We were very involved in the Constitutional Amendment's right to hunt and fish. We have wholeheartedly supported this issue since its inception, I believe in 1998, I think is when it first started. I think we'll just leave my comments at that. I'll be happy to stand for any questions. I think everybody in the committee and certainly everybody in the audience knows the importance of this legislation, to the, as they're calling it in the Senate, a One Minnesota, that everybody has got a piece of this bill, and some of the funding mechanisms have been moving back and forth with certain variations. We have not had taken positions on the various formula changes within the bill, as long as the hunting and fishing heritage portion has been relatively the same since its inception.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kelleher, in a perfect world, would you prefer it to have arts funding on this bill, or would you prefer in a perfect world for it to not have arts
Mr.
funding?
Mr. Kelleher, I know we agree that it's not perfect, so let's hear your answer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, I have the fortune to also represent Minnesota Public Broadcasting, so for me it's a difficult question to answer. I will tell you that I'm sitting here on behalf of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. Our corporate board position is as we would like it either way, and I cannot answer whether it's a hypothetical in a perfect world. Our board position is as we are fine with the arts in the bill, and we are more interested in our portion of the funding formula than what other issues are incorporated into the bill as it moves forward.
Other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You are welcome. Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance, Mr. Shores. Welcome, Mr. Shores.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is John Schwarz. I am speaking for the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance today. I am the past president. Our current president, Jim Klatt, will be up next speaking on behalf of Teddy Roosevelt. when Bob Lazard brought this forward in 1999, Mohawk was the first group that the senator came to. And he realized at that time that we weren't funding adequately our natural resource needs in the state. As the House chair, or the Senate chair of the Natural Resource Committee, he saw budgets, targets that were not adequate. And to his credit, this acknowledgement goes back into the before the right to hunt and fish was passed. This idea was on Bob's mind. He came to Mohawk and says, you know, you guys worked very hard on that right to hunt and fish thing. Let's get going on funding our natural resources. And we said, yeah, we're behind you, Bob. Here we go. And it's like deja vu all over. But here we are now. I don't know if it's the eighth or ninth year. I think we've adequately identified the need. And it's been a long march. I don't know if that's a Chairman Maoism or not, but we're on a long march here. We've had bumps in the roads and setbacks along the way. We feel this is the year to do it. We've got to do it this year. Mohawk continues to support this bill. That's it for now. I'll have the questions.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Scharr, now I think I know the answer for this, but I'm going to ask you. In a perfect world, if you could write the bill, would you want to include arts in it, or would you rather write the bill without arts in it?
Representative McNamara, in a perfect world, if we'd have got this done the first year we got this done, it would have been an A for Habitat. It is what it is. We want the bill. We want funding for Habitat, but we support water. Everything else is on the wisdom of this body. We hope they choose well.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Shores, if you were the wisdom of this body and you were all 201 members and could write the bill, would you write the bill with arts in it or would you write it without arts?
Shores.
If I was king for a day, I'd spend the money where I needed it. In my vision, in my world, it'd be the John Schreier's Wildlife Memorial March out there somewhere. And I'd bring you along, Representative McNamara, because you're the best duck killer in this body.
No. And then maybe that belongs to the chairman of this committee. He's a lot better duck killer.
I don't know if that answers the question.
Follow up real quickly.
Representative McNamara.
So would your, was that a WME I think you referred to? The John Schreier's Memorial?
Whatever.
Okay, would that memorial WMA include arts? Would there be a museum or something in that?
I'll reiterate, Representative McNamara, that is up to the wisdom of this body.
Thank
we
you.
Want the bill.
Well, Representative McNamara, without art, Representative McNamara, DU would not have any fundraisers. So we need artists. And I'm not maybe as good a duck hunter, but I know I can outfish you because I've done it.
We know
but
that.
I keep hearing about your questions about art, and I'm just thinking about that. And my attendance at many events for Rough Grouse and for Pheasants Forever and for Ducks Unlimited and for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and I'm thinking somebody does that art, and somewhere along the line somebody has to become an artist, and usually that happens starting in about first grade, and by fifth grade that my wife teaches, they're doing all kinds of art, and it keeps right on going. So we probably have a slight amount of disagreement on that point. But that being said, any other questions? Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as an artist, and I've not really pushed the arts portion of this, but I have donated a lot of art to various hunting organizations. And if you thought that having the arts in here would assure passage, and maybe without having it in wouldn't assure passage, would you then be more inclined to accept the arts in it?
I trust Mr. Chair, Representative Scalzi. I, too, am in the art business. Okay. In all the years I've advocated for this, I've never advocated for the arts because my vision has always been on that the habitat need. Okay. Boy. Our concern is that when we get to the ballot, we believe we can get to the ballot. We want to be pragmatic about it, but we want a bill that, well, that everybody's going to vote for. That's up to your judgment and wisdom. So you guys have to decide, take the care to craft something. We give you the input. You guys generate the energy, and you, the final outcome is up to you folks. Ultimately, the folks of this state, it's a referendum. We want something that's pragmatic and practical that they'll vote for. Or we've lost, all of us.
Other questions? I'm just thinking, members, maybe we name the 10% for the arts the Jim Kill and Les Kuba provision. That being said, the next...
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Klatt, Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership. Pardon me? Tony. Representative Sturgis, welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Klatt, welcome.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jim Klatt. I couldn't find Teddy Roosevelt this afternoon to bring him up here, so you're going to have to make do with me, and I don't even look like him anymore. But my current job is with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, which is a national version of Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance. We're an umbrella organization, so to speak, for all of the national hunting and fishing camp and conservation organizations, and we work on many of the very same issues. The Minnesota Outdoor Heritage position on this is stated in, I believe, in a statement in your packet, which we passed around earlier. There are about 7 points on there. I won't go through and read all of those. As John pointed out earlier, and the chairman of the committee pointed out, Mohawk's been working on this for 10 years, in fact, probably a little longer. It gets a little frustrating at times. We think the time has come that we put that 10 years behind us and actually pass a bill for an amendment to go to the ballot in 2008. We're not gaining ground on the issues of protecting hunting, fishing, trapping habitat, the clean water, and all those other resources that go with this. And you should all bear in mind that just because this is a hunting, fishing, and trapping coalition that's working on this right now from the Mohawk perspective, all those people who hike and canoe and camp benefit from all the projects and habitat work in the state of Minnesota, whether it's a canoe route through a lake, whether it's a hiking trail through a wildlife management area. It's not just the folks who buy hunting and fishing licenses who benefit from this. And we're facing challenges not only in the state but nationally on extreme loss of wetlands, grasslands, and now with the ethanol issue, farmland overtaking conservation land. All of those things are at play in this bill, whether you really realize that or not. And we would urge you to consider this fully in the next few days and move this bill along so we can actually reach a point where we have the voters in the state of Minnesota voting on it in 2 years, a year and a half. With that, I'll take some questions. Representative McNamara, please.
McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Klatt. Thank you for having the position, and thank you, Majority Sirdis, for bringing this bill forward.
Yep.
It's an important bill, and
I just before you ask your question, Representative McNamara, Representative Sirdis is here with us. He is the chief author of the bill, and Representative Sirdis, Representative Hansen did a fine job in presenting the bill in your absence. So just if you have anything else you'd like to add to that, you may at this time, and then we'll go ahead with questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I apologize for my tardiness. I have another committee going on right now. We're in negotiations with the Senate on overall targets, and then I believe I'm wanted in the governor's office at 3:30 if this committee is still going. So I apologize for being in and out of the room on such an important issue. But time is of the essence for solving the state budget, but time is also of the essence in discussing this important issue. I'm from northeastern Minnesota, grew up there, and grew up with actually a rifle in my hand, literally. I was the firstborn grandchild both sides of my family of avid outdoorsmen. My dad was so excited, maybe a little overzealous, that he actually brought me up to the hunting shack when I was about 10 months old. So I didn't go out in the stand or anything, but he at least had me up to the hunting shack. Haven't missed a year since. I come to this issue as a convert. I have never really been a big fan of dedicated funding in any way, shape, or form, not just on this issue. Transportation, you go up and down the line. I believe strongly in the legislature's ability and right to appropriate money. But there are some issues looking forward beyond ourselves that need proper investment. And we can sit here today and discuss where this issue and the folks that have worked on this issue have been for the last 10 years, but that's the wrong direction, quite frankly, to look on this issue, is to look backwards. It's to look forward to what sort of state are we going to have for the next generation. And I believe that's why this bill is before us. Habitat, the outdoors, clean water are not just important to our economy, not just important to our quality of life, but important to future generations of the state of Minnesota. That's why I bring this bill forward. I hope within the structure of this bill, and have it as you will, because this bill needs to make a few more stops before it hits the floor. I recognize the fact of some members, as I've had in the past, have had concerns with dedicated funding as far as restricting the legislature's oversight and or ability to appropriate. I would like you to see built in here is some flexibility for the legislative process, for the change somewhat in potentially the needs for this state and what we need to fund. And hopefully that's reflected in this piece of legislation. With that, though, Mr. Chair, I know you have a lot of testifiers, so I'll back off and allow the question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Back to, Majority Leader Sertich. Back to the questions for Mr. Clatt. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll repeat my question so that the Majority Leader, I don't think, got to hear it. Mr. Clatt, in a perfect world, and I don't notice anything about art funding in your position paper, would you prefer the bill to be written without arts funding or with arts funding?
Mr. Speaker, Representative McNamara, in the perfect world, we wouldn't be here because the House and Senate would, in their wisdom, statutorily approve enough money for hunting and fishing and trapping, conservation and habitat in the first place, and we wouldn't have to have this bill. I was once an artist. I appreciate artwork, as the chairman said a few minutes ago. If it wasn't for Minnesota's wildlife artists, we probably wouldn't have a Ducks Unlimited banquet or a Pheasants Forever banquet. I think arts needs its own support. The Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance position is that we don't support any other funding in this except that directly related to conservation.
Questions? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
All right, now we're going to have a group up, which will be Mr. Curry, Ms. Schmidt, and Mr. Ness. As I understand it, you're coming up as a group. If you could come forward, please. Welcome, Mr. Curry, Mr. Ness, Ms. Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Could you say your name, each of you say your name and who you represent, and then you can go forward with your testimony.
I'm John Curry. I'm with the Campaign for Conservation. I'm here today to talk on behalf of the Great Outdoors Minnesota Coalition.
My name is Lance Ness, for the record, Mr. Chairman. I'm the president of the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Alliance. I'm also the co-chair of the Rally for Conservation with my friend over here, Dave Zentner. I'm supposed to point at him, serving season sitting over there. And we're here today, and I'll be testifying on behalf of them.
Mr. Chair and members of the division, my name is Susan Schmidt, and I'm state director for the Trust for Public Lands here in Minnesota. I'm here on behalf of the Coalition, Great Outdoors Minnesota.
Welcome to the committee, and whoever's going to go first, let's hear it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Great Outdoors Minnesota is a broad-based coalition of citizens, experts, organizations, sporting interests, environmental groups, and park advocates. And we are united because of the problem that we see facing Minnesota. We're united because of Minnesota's population juggernaut. And sometimes it's hard to see on a day-to-day basis, but everyone should spend some time with the demographer. Minnesota is growing faster than any other state in the Midwest We are growing twice the rate of Wisconsin, four times the rate of Michigan, well faster than the slower states of South Dakota and Iowa, and North Dakota is losing population, probably to Minnesota. That is 1.2 million people in the next 30 years that, as conservationists, we have to plan for, or our state will be a radically different place. That 1.2 million people will gobble up natural areas and farmlands equal to 1 million acres. And to get your hands around that, that is equal in size to Hennepin County, Ramsey County, Carver County, and Dakota County combined, that we'll be losing in the next 25 years. This growth comes at a time of historic lows in environmental funding, so we are in no way preparing to coordinate that growth with conservation. In Great Outdoors Minnesota came together and put some ideas forward for you to consider in dedicated funding. We support 1/4 cent sales tax. That would be $187 million to coordinate this growth with conservation. We support $100 million for clean water legacy at a minimum, because 40% of our lakes and rivers are polluted beyond water quality standards. We support a minimum of $100 million for land protection, because without targeted investments, our future generations will not have access to the outdoors and Minnesota's revered quality of life. We also support a minimum of $30 million for local match incentives to leverage additional conservation wherewithal coordination. We also support bonding so that the state can get in front of these opportunities that will otherwise be lost, and because conservation projects that are tied to land, which the majority of them are, those land values increase faster than the inflation that you have to pay on the bonds. And we support a coordinating council of conservation experts so that funding strategies and implementation can be coordinated with the multitude of partners. And finally, the coalition is poised to raise $4 million. We are established explicitly for this issue to bring it to the voters. And in order to make this campaign a success on Minnesota's 150th birthday, we need to begin the campaign this year. With that, I'll turn it over to Lance.
Mr. Ness.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I believe we had this letter sent out to you from Dave Zentner and myself probably just in a week or two ago. It marked the anniversary of the first rally on the state capitol steps, where over 5,000 of our citizens joined us. And April 22nd that just went by was the anniversary of the second rally. And I just want to remind everyone that some of the largest rallies in the state have taken place in support of this particular dedicated funding. And I'll refer to the letter. The Rally for Conservation, which is formerly known as the Rally for Ducks, Wetlands, and Clean Water, urges the passage of dedicated funding this session as early as possible. Much of our habitat and water are under stress. We have critical conditions affecting our land and water and wildlife. For example, over 99% of original prairies statewide are gone. For almost a decade now, citizens and professionals have detailed the need for a substantially improved natural resource funding base, one that is reliable and one that expands over time. We are told there are 1 million more people coming in the next 20 years. Housing these folks alone will take 1 million acres. We are poorly positioned to deal with what we have and yet alone provide on into the future. Some of you in the legislature and some of our citizens say we do not understand the many other priorities that are more pressing. We recognize these competing needs. Many of us are actively involved in issues around health and education. We state, without equivocation and with great emphasis, that nothing is more important than eliminating water pollution, preventing erosion, restoring prairies, managing our forests, and providing habitat for wildlife. All that we have comes from the natural elements that we steward wisely. It is obvious to us that listening to the comments in the legislature, in the press, and in the media, that some of us believe that this is about our hobbies, hunting and fishing. Nothing could be further from the truth. This is about the quality of our state, of our outdoors, of our home, our way of life. Millions of Minnesotans hunt and fish and gather wildlife. However, when 5,000 of us came to the state capitol in 2005, we did not come to claim a fish or a duck or a deer. We came to reclaim our legacy. We came because we care about our state and our land. If you help to do what we care for, our state, the rest will take care of itself. Our present record is not good. There's a record of impaired waters for over 30 years after the passage of the Clean Water Act, with goal of making all the waters, at a minimum, fishable, drinkable, and swimmable. Our record reveals declining populations of many species of fish and wildlife, with increasing threats of other types of encroaching populations of things like the VHS disease that has recently come over, and things like zebra mussels and exotic species are invading our state. Jumping carp comes to mind, as I've seen a video recently about jumping carp. In the budget presented to you by the governor, Pawlenty, a biennial budget of over $34 billion, the revenue side includes many millions of dollars generated by all the taxes already paid on behalf of outdoor recreation of all types. Use of generally accepted multiplier factors will demonstrate that the revenue generated by these activities is and has been for many years diverted and not reinvested in the resources that support the outdoor legacy, let alone the taxes industry pays, industries that lean heavily on the ability of things like clean water and productive forests. Some say that by placing dedicated funding in the Constitution, we would create an environment where the legislature and the general population will lose interest in conservation issues.
Mr. Ness, we need to wrap it up because we're at 4 minutes.
I'm just about done.
Beyond that.
We believe the dollars are strategically and tactically targeted to Minnesota's ecoregions will do the reverse. By engaging people, that all levels of interest in natural resource conservation will grow and not diminish. This initiative was started to save or restore critical habitats in the state of Minnesota that were about to be lost forever. These critical habitats serve as an important role for the environmental health of the state and the quality of life demanded by the people of Minnesota. In closing, we ask you to commit yourselves to the needs of the citizens and for those yet to come. We wish to thank you and for the current energy, and we encourage the sincere efforts of many of the legislature and the executive branch, and we would like to thank Representative Sirkis for bringing this bill forward.
Okay. Ms. Schmidt?
Members, Mr. Chair, members, just briefly, again, I'm with the Trust for Public Land here on behalf of Great Outdoors Minnesota. Just to compliment my colleagues here, I wanted to emphasize 2 points. One, the coalition really has spent a lot of time with many of you and your staff and resource professionals around Minnesota and spent a good deal of tremendous amount of time really looking at the depth of the breadth of our needs for water quality, for habitat, for parkland, and the tools that we might make available or have available to address those needs. In so doing, we looked at other states, and that's what I want to dwell on first, is that we really found in our research with many of you and your staff that Colorado, Great Outdoors Colorado, Florida, what's known as Florida Forever, New Jersey, what's known as the Green Acres mm-hmm. Program, and our great state to the east, Wisconsin, their Land Legacy Program, all have dedicated funding, long-term dedicated funding to protect land and water. And they have another really fascinating and I think intriguing aspect, and that is they encourage and incentivize local units of government, watershed districts, soil water conservation districts, the federal government and their limited funds, the private sector, and citizens to get involved to protect their land and water resources. So 2 points, long-term dedicated funding, other states have done great work, Minnesota's reputation is behind, and creating a structure in the funding to incent all of our partners to step forward and take responsibility for our land and water legacy. So I'll close on behalf of the coalition, and thank you all for your limited time here today.
Okay, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would ask all three, you gave some really good testimony, and I appreciate hearing about the environment, the outdoors. I didn't hear any of you talk about your desire for arts funding. If you were able to pick whether this bill included arts funding or did not, I'd just like to know if any of you, you didn't speak about that, so I'm wondering if I missed something.
Well, Mr.
Chair, to any of you,
Representative McNamara, I recognize the answers are very unsatisfying for you on this, perhaps so far, and we're going to continue that trend, but we're just a coalition about supporting these things. And so the other aspects of the bill, we haven't all gotten together and say, how can we crystallize a position on these things for you?
Representative McNamara.
Actually, Mr. Curry, I've been very happy with the answer so far. No, I appreciate the truthfulness. I've had nobody tell me that you're all coming here to talk about the environment, the outdoors, and how we need to strengthen that and work with that. And you're all gun-shy to talk about the need for arts funding because you don't want to disrupt the apple cart. I appreciate that. It's just I'd rather get a bushel of apples than seven-eighths of a bushel of apples, and that's where I'm coming from. And I understand you'd rather grab seven-eighths of a bushel, and if there's an eighth that goes somewhere else, you understand that, and I appreciate that. And your desire to all walk on eggshells, maybe you now have some new understanding for sometimes what the folks here do. But we were sent here to do a job, and I just want to know what your thoughts are. And I'm just wondering if any of the other ones want a full bushel of apples or are okay with 7-8.
Mr. Nasser,
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, the official position of the Rally for Ducks, Wetlands, and Clean Water is an 8 for habitat and 8 for clean water. That's been our position all along. Our purview is if anything is added on, that's up to the legislature to make this issue work. That is what you folks are here for. We're here to tell you what the needs are as we see them.
I had met Representative Moe next. Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, members, it's true that is our job, but what your job is going to be for the next 2 years is to hound us and chew on us if we vote against it. So it's easier for me to say that. But I have a large responsibility to my constituents, and I put out surveys and I talk to them, and right now it's about 50-50 with okay. The existing tax and without arts. If I throw arts and humanities and culture and tax on there, it's going to bomb in my district. And you can say that all you want, that sometimes you just have to do what's right, but the ditches and the roads through elections are full of the bodies of legislators who just thought that they would go their own way with something. We're put up here to be representatives of our district, and so far, I'll probably end up voting against this. And it's going to surprise a lot of people because I'm conservation hunting background, but at a certain time, you just have to sober up and say, somebody came along and seen how hungry the hunting and fishing and clean water community was to get something, and they can load almost anything on it, and you folks are still going to accept it. That's the core, this, you know, the sad truth of this is. And I wonder how far we could increase the tax on you and how much money we could put into arts, and you would still take the deal because you're so hungry for the fish and game and habitat money. I have to look at it from a broad perspective and not just the fish and game. It has to be policy and economics and everything, and so it's really dubious to me. I'm going to hate to do it, but at this point, if arts is put on there and an increased tax, I'm going to have to vote against it.
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Mr. Nance.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cornish. Dave Zender, myself, I'll speak for him. He can obviously speak for himself as well. But at the end result, which you folks come up with, and I would like to kind of remind everyone here, the citizens of the state are going to get to vote on this. What comes out of these two bodies, the House and the Senate, has got to be acceptable to the people of Minnesota. That's who's going to vote for this. This coalition that we built, this Gold Minnesota Coalition, is going to have to raise $4 to $5 million to pass a ballot initiative. It's what the citizens are going to vote on in the fall of 2008 is what really matters. It's the content. It has to be quality. It can't just be something thrown against the wall that sticks. It's got to be good for all Minnesotans. We're doing this for the long term. I think sometimes people lose sight of that. That it's not about today. It's about tomorrow. It's about the next generation and what they're going to experience in Minnesota. And that's what we're going to end up voting on in 2008. And I hope that everyone kind of keeps their eye on the ball there. It's got to be good or it's not going to work.
Mr. Chair, to Representative Cornish, I just want to say that we 100% need your support and need people like you to support this. These issues that we bring to you have always been bipartisan. They've always been metro. They've always been rural. They've always been suburban. We need this amendment going forward to be embraced by everyone in the state. It's got another 9 committees to go through. So I appreciate your comments, and I hope that us advocates can bring value, and folks from both sides of the aisle, that Representative Sertich and others, that we can continue the discussion to get you to a yes.
Ms. Schultz, do you have something to add to that Cornish statement?
Susan Schmidt and members of the division, just to repeat that this is really a coalition that's come a long way. It's a coalition of habitat, water quality, and parkland interests. We've spent a lot of time, a lot of deliberate time, looking at the needs and looking at the tools and looking what other states succeeded in doing. And what we're for, is about asking the people of Minnesota to vote on a sales tax increase that can be dedicated to protecting our land and water resource for our kids and for our kids' kids, frankly, before it's too late.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the presenters, you mentioned a couple of times about the $4 million needed to be raised for the campaign. Can you talk about the timing of why it's important to pass it this session instead of waiting a year from now and passing it then?
Absolutely. Mr. Chair and Representative Singelstad, well, all of you know a lot about campaigns, and it takes a while to raise money, especially significant money. Minnesota has a lot less voter engagement ballot initiatives than other states, but Trust for Public Land and other organizations that work these kinds of things in other states, even the transportation folks, will tell you that you need to have the legislature give the green light before the fundraising can begin. The fundraising is about getting people to say yes. In Minnesota, if you don't vote on a constitutional question, it counts as a no vote. So there are, once they vote for president in Congress and they start to get bored at soil and water conservation districts and they stop voting, it counts as a no vote. So we not only need to educate voters about what this issue does, we have to get them to actually vote at that very bottom line. Otherwise, the 10 to 15% will be an automatic no. So there's a lot of work to be done, and it costs a lot of money to get there.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony. Thank you for coming. The next group up will be Mr. Landwehr, Ms. Schultz, and Mr. Austin, from, in that order there, from the Nature Conservancy, the Minnesota Environmental Partnership, and the MCEA. Come forward and welcome. Welcome. If you do, each introduce yourself, and then we'll go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I didn't know we were going to come up here and talk all three at the same time, so I'm just going to talk individually, and I think we probably all are. My name is Tom Landwehr. I'm the Assistant State Director for the Nature Conservancy in Minnesota. I'm also, Nature Conservancy is also a member of the Great Outdoors Minnesota Coalition, which you just heard about. I said this morning on the Senate discussion on Senate File 6, and I have to say it feels an awful lot like discussing placement of deck chairs on the Titanic. We have, since this discussion started 10 years ago, we have probably lost 5,000 acres of wetland. We have probably lost several thousand acres of grassland. We have probably lost tens of thousands of acres of forest. Our water quality has diminished, and our waterfall lakes are degraded to the point that they are the jokes in our outdoors magazines. I don't see how we can continue to wait 10 more years for a positive resolution of this. As humans, we have the privilege and the opportunity of being the architects of our land, of our landscapes. And in that, I am quite convinced that 20 years from now, we are going to have an adequate number of stadiums, both professional and collegiate. We are going to have an adequate number of roads. I believe we will have an adequate number and quality of schools and university. And I'm convinced that our capital and our state buildings will be adequately built and resurrected. I am not certain that our green infrastructure will be able to say the same thing. The irony is that the more we spend on our hard capital assets, the more pressures we put on our green infrastructure, and we need to reverse that before it's too late. Down can only go so far before you hit the bottom. Why do we need dedicated funding? In 1986, and I started in this business about 1981, we sat in the same chambers and talked about the governor's task force. Governor Rudy Perpich had a task force, a Blue Ribbon task force, who was supposed to look at the reinvestment Minnesota program. And you've all heard of RIM. RIM was intended to look at just the sales tax contributed by hunting and fishing. $60 million a year was supposed to be the goal for the RIM program in Minnesota. The legislature was going to commit long-term $60 million a year to natural resources. We got $16 million the first year, and it went downhill from thereafter. In the early 90s, we talked about the Environmental Trust Fund. We created the Environmental Trust Fund from lottery proceeds. That was all going to go into natural resources. We know what happened. Within 2 years, half of it or more went into the general fund. We are here today talking about dedicated funding because we do not have the ability to separate the urgent from the important. And natural resources, while it is important, is rarely ever urgent. We do not have the burning Cuyahoga River in Minnesota. And when we do, it's too late. We need to do prevention rather than retraction. When I look at my check stub every week, I don't have the ability to say whether or not I want to pay for Social Security or Medicare. Those are taken right off. Elected officials in their wisdom have said there are some things that are too important to leave up to the discretion and the pressures of the day for spending. We're going to set that aside, and I really believe we need to do that with natural resources funding. This bill recognizes that the landscape is comprised equally of water and land, and they are both interconnected. We need to protect them both. We recognize that the huge pressures that are being applied by the population of today and the much greater pressures that will be applied by the population in 20 years need a very bold and aggressive response. We think this is it, especially if you can include a measure to allow for bonding. You have the opportunity to create a landmark legislation that will create a state we can be proud of. I spent the weekend at Whitewater State Park with my 9-year-old hunting turkeys on the Whitewater Wildlife Management Area and on the Richard Dorr State Forest. I am tremendously thankful that our forebears had the presence of mind to create something like that. I am doubtful that if today we could ever be so aggressive as to create a Richard Dorr State Forest, a Whitewater Wildlife Management Area, or even a Whitewater State Park. I hope you will recognize it as one of your privileges and obligations and would step up to the plate and help us accomplish that level of activity again. As has been mentioned, this is a decision that you can leave to the voters, and we hope you will. We ask you today that, above all, please pass the bill with natural resources funding in it and let the voters have the choice. I'd rather have 7/8 of a bushel than the apple cores we have been getting over the past 20 years. Thank you for your attention.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Austin. I'm with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. I'm sitting here in a number of wearing a number of hats today. Number one, representing our organization. Number two, we're a member of the Minnesota Environmental Partnership. Number three, we're a member of the Rally for Conservation. And number four, we're a member of the Great Outdoors Minnesota. So as you can see, the links between all of our groups run deep, and they've been there for a long time. We're here with our partners today to ask you to support this bill, to ask the voters in 2008 to vote yes to investing in our water and our land, to making a commitment to future generations, and to make it big so it counts. I'm talking about $100 million for water, $100 million for land, $30 million for local matching grants. That's big, and that makes a difference. It makes a dent. I want to focus just on water for a second, because that's an issue that our group focuses on a lot in our time. What's the goal? Our goal is to meet the requirements of the Federal Clean Water Act. That act was passed in 1976. At that point in time, they said by 1985, the waters need to be fishable and swimmable and drinkable, and there should be no discharges of toxic materials. I don't think we're there yet. Only 16% of our waters in this state have been assessed. And of those that have been assessed, just a little over half are okay. The other half are impaired. That's not acceptable when you look at the Federal Act, and it certainly isn't acceptable to us as Minnesotans. There are still an estimated 60,000 straight pipe septic systems in this state, discharging directly to the waters of the state. I think in 2007, that's not acceptable. Does it work? Absolutely. When you look at a system that would set up water quality assessment followed by a process where you can take that information gathered into the regulatory process to control discharges, when you're looking at non-point source and point source pollution reduction, when you're looking at some levels of drinking water protection, it all adds up. And the history is clear. When you put money into something like this, it works. In 1986, I was fresh out of graduate school and working on testing toxics in the Mississippi River. 50 years earlier, mayfly hatches, huge mayfly hatches, had happened all up and down that river. But as the population grew and overran the sewage treatment systems in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it killed the mayflies in those rivers. And in the mid-80s, the mayflies came back. That was after billions of dollars of work on point sources alone. When I look at that, and I look at a few $100 million to get this ball rolling again, to try to get the next decade kicked off the right way, I think it makes sense, and we'd urge you to support that. Thank you, and I'll turn it over to Molly.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Molly Schultz, and I'm the Public Policy Director for the Minnesota Environmental Partnership and Conservation Minnesota. And I wanted to talk for a moment about the funding need and some of the activities that we are doing throughout the state around this issue. You just heard John Curry reference that Minnesota is at historic lows for conservation funding. And each year, the organization I'm with, Conservation Minnesota, conducts a thorough analysis of state spending for conservation purposes. And the results would surprise most Minnesotans because we are at a near 30-year low for conservation spending. Despite fee increases, total agency budgets have not kept up with inflation. In inflation-adjusted dollars, total expenditures for the primary conservation agencies has declined by $100 million from 2001 to 2009. That's an 18% drop. So while these agencies are struggling with program and staffing cuts, it's clear that Minnesotans will be waiting a long time for the general fund to catch up with the needs. And it's time we can't afford to wait. So this year, MEP and the member groups that we represent, 450,000 Minnesotans, chose the passage of a constitutional amendment as one of our three priority legislative issues. And as part of our activities around these issues, MEP and our member groups have been organizing extensively throughout the state, and I do have some good news to report. We have five field organizers based in the Burnsville and Bloomington area, Rochester, Duluth, St. Cloud, and Austin and Albert Lea. They've been engaging Minnesotans from all walks of life, and the results are very positive. Minnesotans are concerned about our polluted waters, the loss of habitat, wildlife, prairies, wetlands, and forests. And they are willing to invest in these things so that our great outdoors legacy can be preserved for their children and grandchildren. But we're also uncovering some challenges, and namely that so many Minnesotans simply aren't aware of the scope of the problem or that there is a solution at hand. They know that their lake is polluted or that the wetland near their home has been drained, but they don't recognize that this is a disturbing trend that is only getting worse and more expensive to fix. So that's why it's imperative that the legislature act in 2007 to give advocates for clean water and land conservation time to raise the money and mount a successful campaign that engages Minnesotans and encourages them to make an informed decision at the polls. We'd like to thank the House of Representatives for your commitment to move this bill through the process pretty quickly because Minnesotans are waiting for your action, so we look forward to your support.
Okay, Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I miss Mr. Landwehr's testimony, so you can let me know if I didn't, if you said something different, but I noticed a number of comments about the goal to meet Clean Water Act, 16,000 straight pipe septic systems, water, prairie, wetlands, forests, clean water, land conservation, all great things that I very much support, but I didn't hear any talk about the arts funding. So is it your preference from the three different groups? Would you prefer to have arts funding in this bill?
I can start. And to go back to a previous statement, if this were a perfect world, I would have a head of hair like Senator Pogamiller, and I would be about 30 pounds less. Thankfully, my wife does not expect me to live perfectly, and it takes me the way I am. I think most people here recognize we are conservation organizations. You know what we stand for. I think the art of politics is the art of negotiation. I think I'm going to ask that instead of looking for ways to divide the groups and the issue, please look for ways to support getting something passed so that we can act on it. If we sit here and discuss again where we're going to place the chairs on the Titanic, we will be sitting here again next year and the following year and the following year. And I think we're all sick of having to do this. So please find ways to agree on how to get this passed among yourselves, because we can't make you do it.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. and Mr. Landwehr. I will absolutely say you are one person that I absolutely really look up to in this issue. And I understand your concern. And I don't mean it to be a smart aleck. I really am curious. I believe reality. I'm going to vote for it if it's got arts in it. I believe that strongly in it. I want to know what you folks really want, and mostly what I'm hearing is that, you know, you'll take it with something that's less than perfect. I was just trying to find out what you'd like in the perfect world, and I can only surmise. I'm sure at some point we're going to have somebody come down here that wants the arts, and they're going to speak and say, I want the arts. I'm hoping somebody is here anyway. I keep looking, and I see. So I'm glad, because I want somebody to be advocating for it and just kind of gun-shy. You know, we'll take what we can get, and if you got to throw that in there, that's my point. And I keep hearing what you're saying. And again, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, our official board position is one quarter of a cent sales tax increase for 1/8 for water, 1/8 for land conservation. It's the same position I believe that the Go Minnesota, Great Outdoors Minnesota group has, and we are silent about anything else. Our model bill has some very specific things in it, and they are land and water conservation.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, we share that position. We're in the same place. I'd just like to point out that the issue that you face within this bill, with having to decide where money goes, where the deck chairs are going in the Titanic, is not any different than it is in the overall state budget. And I have been in that position before. And I don't think it should be unusual that we are here advocating for the things we believe in without necessarily taking on everything else that's in the budget. That would be like us focusing on ag and DNR and PCA budgeting without necessarily working on public safety or corrections budgeting at the same time.
Any further questions? Ms. Schultz?
Oh, no.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not necessarily a question, but I think to the Mr. Landwehr and the others that are up there and the others that have been, we have to look at priorities and a way to budget. And I think, as we saw in the Senate today, the problem is this is not the best way to do a budget. Representative Sertage mentioned it before. I'm in the same position he is. I've never liked dedicated funding. I would vote for more funding for conservation and the environment. I wish we weren't doing this. Having said that, I've been somewhat dragged kicking and screaming to the table of supporting this. Philosophically, I think whether it's the arts or transportation or education or whatever else that you're adding on to this bill, I think that invalidates the argument. I mean, we're all here today because there's a crisis, and a looming crisis, and something that's getting worse for environmental and conservation funding in our state, and I think we all recognize that. I don't think that you can honestly look me in the eye and tell me that there's that same crisis in the arts or transportation or education or whatever else it is. And I would support this bill. I've never cared about a new tax or existing money or any of that. I think it's important. I think we need to do it for the future of the state. I just think when you add other subject areas in there, you know, Mr. Landwehr, you mentioned the urgent versus the important. I just think that invalidates the argument, and people are going to look at that and say, well, it's the legislature not being serious about things again. And that's my concern, and I don't like it with the arts provision in there, and not because it's the arts. I think that is important. I wouldn't like it, again, if it were, you know, any other subject area. I'm okay with clean water and parks and anything having to do with the outdoors or conservation or the environment. I think Minnesotans understand that and respect that and will support that. I just think we make this thing so broad, you know, then if this gets on the ballot and passes in coming years, are we going to be asked for dedicated funding for education and for transportation and for all kinds of other issues? I think that's a legitimate concern.
Since there was no question in that, is there any other further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Erickson. Welcome, Ms. Erickson. Your name and who you represent, and go ahead with your testimony.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Judy Erickson, and I'm the Government Relations Director for the Parks and Trails Council of Minnesota. And I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Sertage, for bringing your bill forward today and being supportive of looking for ways to improve conservation funding in Minnesota. Clearly, as we've heard from everyone else before me, we need to do something about conservation funding in Minnesota. Just a word about the Parks and Trails Council. We are an Parks and Trails advocacy group. We've been around for over 50 years working on behalf of Parks and Trails. We also put our money in our activities. We have been instrumental in protecting more than 8,000 acres of land, spending over nearly $12 million of our own funds into land acquisition for Parks and Trails. Minnesotans value their parks and trails. We all know that. They are part of our heritage and a part of our way of life. The other thing is that we don't always think about, and I have a couple of handouts from 2 weekends ago, both. These are both from the Star Tribune, but just showing the complexity and diversity of what our state parks do for Minnesota. This is the Big Bog, which protects really significant and unique habitat in northern Minnesota. If you want to pass those around, just take a look at, maybe think about where you'd want to be in a month or so. And here, this is Whitewater State Park, which is an article about trout fishing. So parks are about a lot of different things. And in your packets, you have our wonderful magazine and a state park map. But we have a wonderful legacy. Previous legislatures have done a wonderful job in creating our state park and trail system. But now it's up to current and future legislatures to make sure the legacy continues. We have the responsibility now to protect and be good stewards of the resources that we've already put before us. Minnesota, as you know, has one of the oldest state park systems in the country. Itasca was established in 1895. We currently have 72 state park and recreation areas, 261,000 acres of some of Minnesota's most treasured landscapes, scenic vistas, and cultural resources. We also have 523 miles of state trail system that links ecosystems, communities, and parks together and offer citizens opportunities to be active and fit, and they're great economic development tools. The bill before you today is about the future. It is the opportunity to shape our parks and trails for our kids and our grandkids. It's about making sure the wonderful legacy of parks is continued. It's about being good stewards. And our board has spent quite a bit of time discussing this in the last year. Our organization has been working on this bill along with many of the others for many years. And I have 2 points that I want to share with you. One is that we support new long-term dedicated funding for Minnesota's parks and trail systems, including state and regional parks and trails. Our parks and trail systems all complement each other and are part of our fabric that adds to our quality of life in Minnesota. We also support long-term dedicated funding that provides a clear and significant commitment for parks and trails, whether it's for conservation education, resource management, or land acquisition. We appreciate that the bill before you allows the flexibility to allow park agencies and the legislature the opportunity to address current high-priority needs now and into the future. The bill that you have in front of you does accomplish these 2 important points that our organization is interested in. We also support the language in the bill that clearly states these funds are to supplement, not supplant, existing sources of revenue. And we do support a balanced bill. As you can see from the newspaper articles I'm passing around, we all complement each other. Clean water, natural areas, and habitats, parks and trails are all a part of our fabric of life. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Representative McNamara.
Does your support for a balanced bill mean the balance to include the arts funding, Ms. Erickson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, I should have had plenty of opportunity to answer your question, but I will just say that we are a parks advocate. Our organization has focused primarily on the need for parks and trails to be a part of the conservation dedicated funding because we are a part of the fabric.
Representative Magamer.
Just a real quick follow-up. You had an official position and it did not include arts funding.
Our official position are the 2 points that I made earlier.
Okay, thank you.
Other members? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Nordyke, Minneapolis Parks and Recreation Board.
Thank you, sir. My name is Tom Nordyke, and I am a at-large elected member of the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, which, for those of you who don't know, means that I represent the entire constituency of the city of Minneapolis. I will not repeat a lot of what Judy said, but I do want to talk a little bit about legacy and balance. When I think about this, and I've talked about it a lot, I really do think the word of the day is legacy, and that is the sort of this what I call the 3 pillars of what I see as culture. What makes our culture here unique in Minnesota.
The balance that I would add to what Judy said is the balance of access. And when I think about the legacy as we talk about it today, for me, in my world, it represents trips to the lake. It represents trips to the boundary waters. It represents afternoon watching eagles flying over Lake Pepin. But I want to keep in mind that for a lot of families, they don't have that access. There are a lot of constituents in our metropolitan area, and that is why, of course, we want to encourage you to keep the metropolitan parks in this bill as it goes forward. There's a lot of constituents there that don't have that kind of access. There are a lot of constituents where a family's day at the lake is a bus ride away. It's not a drive up north. If we talk about taking off of what some of the other people said today, I think someone said 1 million more people in our metro area by 2035, something like that. Then the issues of access, of course, are going to grow and grow and grow. So I would encourage you to keep the metro parks in this bill. It's an important part of making this legacy a balanced legacy for the entire state of Minnesota, and it's going to become more important as we go ahead over the next several decades. And with that, I will take any questions.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr.
Nordyke.
Nordyke, is it? Commissioner, right? You're a commissioner?
Yeah.
Commissioner, does your group have a formal position on the arts funding component?
The park board does not have a formal position on the arts funding as part of this program.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, Port Fulton. Welcome, Mr. Holton. You're with the Three Rivers Park District.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Court Holton. I represent the Three Rivers Park District. Three Rivers Park District, statutorily created regional park, created by the legislature in 1957. We have Hennepin County outside of Minneapolis, and there is 26,000 acres of preserve, reserve, and regional park. And we have taken a position in support of this bill, naturally, because we're in the bill, when people talk about whether this is an environment bill, a wildlife bill, or other things, sometimes you get the idea that the parks that we're talking about are ball fields, playgrounds, and picnic tables. This is not so. These are large areas of preserved environment. We have fisheries, fishing activities. A lot of open space, in addition to some recreation. But we're much into preservation and development of environment that can be made accessible to people. So we are a wildlife and environment outlet in the greatest highly populated area of the state of Minnesota. Now, I keep hearing there's going to be another 1 million people here by 35. I won't be here, but you can imagine what our situation is going to be then. Therefore, we have been supporting this bill, and I've been around long enough to understand the reason that people are putting this forward in this context, and that is, in a straight budgeting process, we so often get pushed to the back burner, and we get pushed to the back burner because we're competing with other very popular spending items like educating your children, taking care of your grandparents, health care, transportation. These are all things that, of course, are part of the budgeting process. We tend to get pushed to the back because we can take care of that later. There's not a crisis that's going to happen tomorrow. There certainly will be if we don't open the school doors in the fall. And I'd like to take just a second to tell you, as we've been going around the lakes that we have in the Three Rivers Park District, and let me tell you, the crisis is not tomorrow. And I invite you to come out with me and see what's happening to some of these lakes right now, today. The crisis is no longer tomorrow, it is today. And we need some kind of funding, and I'm convinced the only way that we're going to get reliable funding is by this methodology, which is a policy choice that typically I would not be in favor of, but I very much am in this case because I think it's a distinct case. The money that we had in the bill started out at one level, and it's been shrinking a little bit. And obviously this would affect our thinking as we go on, because if that gets too small, bearing in mind the group psychology factors, if you create a new source of revenue down the road, the same decision makers are going to consider that in their decision making. So it's important that we stay in and stay well funded. As far as Art is concerned, I only knew one guy, Art. He used to be the Commissioner of Revenue, and he was a pretty good guy, Mr. Chairman.
I guess he gave me.
He's gonna. You took away Representative McNamara's thunder, Mr. Holton. Okay, next person up, is Joe Dugan in here? No? Don't see him. Our Mr. Cox from the Waterfowl Association. Nope. Okay. Gary Leaf. Are you here? Okay. Tom Jess. Welcome. Could you state your name and who you represent?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. For the record, my name is Tom Jess and I reside in Plymouth. I come to you as a private citizen representing no organization, but as an individual who's followed this process for the last 7 years. I'd like to make the following observations. I tried to look at something and see where I could make perhaps a different comment on some of those that I've been making. The dedicated funding bill started as a simple bill that was to use a portion of the state sales tax to provide relief for its state's beleaguered outdoor habitat. That was because the legislature failed to keep spending on our state's natural resources at the normal 2% level that it had been of the state's budget. It was this failure to recognize the importance of Minnesota's natural resources to its people and caving in to more powerful lobbying interests that has caused this condition to develop and continue to exist. This is not the first time that sportsmen have initiated legislation. In 1934, Ding Darling, with the help of the federal people, created the federal duck stamp. His artwork adorned the first stamp, and today that money has created a number of wildlife refuges, waterfowl production areas that go up and down the flyways. To bring this to more importance, I've counted 13 and a 14th Minnesota artist, if you count Dan Smith, that have won a total of 20 of those contests. Their contributions to the nearly $700 million is over $300 million that has gone towards the making of those refuges and waterfowl production areas. In 1937, another significant piece of legislation was passed nationally. That was the Federal Aid and Wildlife Restoration Act, more commonly known as the Pittman-Robertson Act. In this bill, sportsmen lobbied to have a 10% excise tax put on their weapons and sporting equipment. It was later increased to 11% and also includes archery equipment. Money from this fund, besides habitat work, is also used to educate hunters and enforcement of game laws. And we have the Federal Aid and Sport Fish Restoration Act, which is passed in 1950, is a parallel to the and is the Dingell-Johnson Act that was created for fisheries. And in 1984, there was an amendment for called the Wallop Row that added new provisions to the Act by providing and extending the excise tax to previously untaxed items of sport fishing equipment. Because the state of Minnesota's wetlands were looking in poor shape in the 40s and early 50s, from 1945 to 1950, 3% of our wetlands disappeared each of those 5 years. There was a program that was set up to save the wetlands. That was a $1 surcharge on our hunting small game hunting licenses. That was increased to $2 in 1981, and then, in 71, and in at $4 in 1981. And that continues to be part of our heritage as well. In talking with one of the people who had some intimate knowledge of that, his name is Al Farms, several years ago I was talking with him, he said, you know what, if we'd have just made that initial cost $2, just think of where we'd be today. Another effort in 1977 by a small group called the Minnesota Waterfowl Association created the state waterfowl stamp. That money has gone for programs to be used in wildlife management areas in our shallow lakes. Then we also asked for and received stamp bills in 1982 for the trout, 1983 for pheasants, and 1987 for wild turkeys. That was because even at the spending, we still needed to help the habitat out, and we still weren't keeping up with inflation and the cost of that habitat and acquiring it. Dedicated funding is something that you will have to decide on, and whether or not we meet the requirements of trying to preserve something for future generations. There's also a number of bills that were passed in addition to these that were kick-started by sportsmen. Reinvest in Minnesota, the State Wetlands Conservation Act. CREP 1 and CREP 2 were federal efforts and that we created. We matched federal funding on a $1 state to $3 or $4 on the federal level. And I'm done.
Well, thank you, Jess. Before I call on Representative McNamara, I'm going to ask you this question. First off, I'm very glad that you're here today because virtually everyone that has testified before us today was some special interest group or that represented an interest in this bill one way or the other. So I'm glad to have a citizen here, actually, and I compliment you on spending your time for coming here. My question is to you, without art, what would you put on the turkey, pheasant, trout, state, and federal duck stamps? I'm asking you that question as a citizen. What would you like to see a picture? Maybe Hugh Hefner would make a picture we put on there, or we'd have a picture of a downtown building in St. Paul, or maybe you had some suggestions that you'd like to put on those stamps.
Mr. Chairman, if you were to ask the artists that created the artwork, most of them would say that they're landscape artists and the birds, deer, trout, and ducks just happened to get in the way as they were painting. It would be hard to take and replace it with anything else.
Representative McNamara.
You know, Mr. Chair, you did a pretty good job of asking the question about the arts, and I don't know if Mr. Jess has anything to add about your feelings about the importance of having arts be in the bill. I mean,
personally, I think we would need to, you know, every one of these examples that I brought up were examples of legislation that was brought about by sportsmen because they felt that the habitat and the surrounding areas needed work, needed saving. There was a reason for that because they were disappearing. I don't have to step on eggshells quite like the other people do because I've got my own opinions and several people know what they are. Taking these examples, and again, that they were brought forward by sportsmen, I would recommend that, you know what, we take and personally I would you know, prefer to leave the arts off, because they do have the ability to raise large amounts of money. You have public television, which has a fundraiser every 3 months. They have their 30-second commercials where they could also and do ask for money, the radio stations. You've got, you know, if I were to be doing it, I would be saying, you know what, let's take and have you guys take and put a surcharge on your theater admissions, and let's have an excise tax on art supplies. I carve my own decoys. I'd be contributing to it. I also am a member of the Jakes Art Center up in Aiken, Minnesota. So, you know, the arts are important, and to be able to, you know, if they're on there, I would like to see, you know, it's your job as legislators to put the best bill forward that the people would pass. So, I'm pushing it back to you.
Okay, Representative Magmer, any more?
No, I'm good.
Any other questions from members? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Now, let me just remind you that if you want to testify, you need to be on the list. The last testifier that we have on the list is Senator Bob Lessard, my good friend from up in the north, Senator Bob Lessard. I've known him forever. Welcome, Senator, and you don't need to state your name and who you represent. I think we know that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it's a great fear I come for the other body. I tread lightly, believe me. I just want to give you a brief history of this bill. When this concept, in fact, started on Joe Alexander many years ago, and he said, we've got to get some sort of dedicated funding, my hair was actually black. Believe it or not, that's when this, now look what happened. I think it's probably because of trying to, all the years I've worked on trying to get this legislation passed. I went to Missouri, but this started, I made a trip to Missouri called the Missouri Plan, and I went down there and I met with their people, and this concept of doing a constitutional amendment for the environment or for the outdoors. And actually this goes back to about 1993. It's a long time ago when it first all started. I'm not going to go through all that, but I know I've got a file this thick. But when I first introduced the bill, it was strictly game and fish and wildlife. That was the first, as it got in front of the committee in the Minnesota Senate. And it doesn't take a Philadelphia lawyer to figure out that even though we were representing the sportsmen and women, the sports, you know, the hunters and the fishers and the anglers and all of us, that I'm only one person. I ran into the argument that Senator Sard, what pocket you're going to take it out of? I can go through this from stem to stern on this. What pocket you're going to take out of education? You're going to take it out of health and human services? You're going to take it out of LGAs? What pocket you're going to take it out of? I was taking it out of the general revenue fund. In the Environment Natural Resource Committee, one of the senators who was voted the other body today put the amendment on that would come out not out of the general revenue fund, but would be left up to the vote of the people. It was strictly just a game and fish bill. I worked on that for about at least 3 years with that concept. But it takes 67 votes to pass a bill in the Minnesota Senate. Over here it takes 134. And even though I was trying to represent the sportsmen and women of the state, I couldn't take, you know, I'm only one person. And then some of the other amendments started to come on. Sam Solon put on the zoos, a little bit on the zoos. And I accepted that amendment to put something on for forestry. And it proceeded and went on and on and on. It actually reached the Senate floor about 4 years ago, or 5 years ago. And it went through the Rules Committee. It was on the desk, and for reasons unbeknownst to me, we could not get it out of, pull it from the desk of the Senate. So the Senate takes 34 votes to do that, and I could not do that. I know this bill has a lot of things that a lot of people don't like in it. I happen to believe strongly that we have to do something for water, our clean water. When I started out this bill, water wasn't the big thrust, but that came into the picture after with federal funding, and I wholeheartedly embrace that. When the arts were added in the bill, as it came through the process, I fought that. I think that they don't belong there. I thought that that was wrong. I thought that would be relevant. And but I also realize that just because I thought that, that there are other constituencies in the Twin Cities in particular, and certain parts of greater Minnesota, that just because I think it was the wrong thing to do, there are other constituencies think, no, it's just important to add that to the bill. I'm a realist. There are things in this bill I don't like. But I also know it takes 67 votes and 134 in the Senate. And I'm absolutely convinced that if we do not pass this bill out of this committee and get to the conference committee and do the best job that we can, we're not going to have this opportunity again. When I was chairing the committee, when I got my targets, I chaired the Environment and Natural Resource Committee for a decade and a quarter. I got nothing. If we look at the park, LGAs, Health and Human Services, education. Look at that, education, 51% of the budget. We ended up with about 24% to run all the rest of state government, and we got nothing. We'd go up the stairs and try to get something on the cycle. We got nothing for game and fish, wildlife, and parks. And we tried statutory dedicated, it just doesn't work. And this body, you have an opportunity, I believe, to pass landmark legislation. Again, some of the people that previously testified, and if anybody that has ever followed my career knows that I've been very adversarial, certainly, and you from northern Minnesota, to some of the views and some of the legislation that's been proposed and some of the lawsuits that, in particular for northern Minnesota, and yet they're testifying for this bill, and I'm testifying for this bill. Because this is one time, I think, that we have to work together to pass a piece of legislation if we're going to leave something we've done a race. But I really believe that. And members of the committee, I know there's things in the bill you don't like. But I'm just pleading with you to pass it on. We get it to the conference committee. We can work a lot of these details out. It will not be a perfect bill. But just because we have 500,000 deer hunters and we have about 250,000 approximately, I think, small game hunters, we have 1.6 and a half million anglers. If we could get all of them to vote on this bill, we wouldn't have to worry. But that isn't the way it works in the process. You need 34 votes and you need 67. And and again, I know this sounds kind of trite, but it isn't for me. You know, I'll be planting daisies for God's sakes. But we're looking at what's going to happen 40, 50 years from now. Something that has been pointed out for game and fish, we're revenue generators. We out of a $30 billion budget, $15 billion annually, we generate, it used to be about $24 billion, that's when this thing started out, we were generating approximately $600 million directly to the general revenue fund through game, fish, and all that. And then when you figure out what the spinoff effect is, something like over $1.25 billion. So we're revenue generators. That was our argument when I started out why it should be just game and fish. But there are other factors, other things that have been added. I understand the arguments. I've been through them. But I just think that you have an opportunity to pass landmark legislation. 48 other states. Missouri has something like this. Not as good. 48 others. I say 48 because I'll take them out of the equation. Will kill to have passed this legislation. Well, follow us. When they look at what we've done in Minnesota, I guarantee that will happen. We passed the constitutional right to hunt and fish. We're the first state in the union. Now we've got nine. Again, Georgia just passed it, and we were on the cutting edge of just a piece of legislation. Tom Akbar, where's Tom? This guy, I worked so hard. This is not a Republican Democratic bill. Where's the author of the bill? He's here somewhere.
Meeting with the governor.
Tony had to go.
So this is not a Republican and Democratic bill. It's a bipartisan bill. It brought all of us together. And I know I'm sounding a little bit...
Well, why don't we hit you with some questions? I think we're going to have some questions, Senator Lessard. You are very knowledgeable of this. So, Representative McNamara first.
Well, you know, I hate to put the great fisherman from International Falls on the spot, but if you were all 201 legislators and could write the bill yourself to put it on the ballot, would you include arts in the bill?
In a perfect world, no. No.
Representative McNamara, follow up?
No, why would I want to follow up with
you
that?
Want to
Mr. Chair, Senator Lessard, he can go on for a long time, and I love listening to him, but he just gave me a real short answer, so I thought I'd let it go.
Who else in the committee has that question for the senator? Anyone? I thought that, Representative Cornish.
Senator Lessard, what, right now, they've got a couple of tax proposals out there that are really small.
Representative Cornish, could you get in the mic a little bit better?
Point here first is right now there's a couple of tax proposals out there that are really small, one for foreign operating corporations, another one for tax the wealthy. Both of them look like they aren't going to make it, that they're not even popular with the citizens. Small incremental taxes. My worry is that what's going to delay it further if we don't pass it this year or if we put out a bad amendment and it fails. So is that a justifiable worry that we can't even probably get enough votes to pass those two small tax increases this year, and rightly so to me, but yet if we put an additional tax on this amendment and it fails, that, I guess that's my worry, that if we put a bad product out there. So I'm torn between one, we don't advance the bill, it fails, and if we do advance and put out a bad one, so.
Mr. Chairman, Tony Cassis spent a lot of time in my office over the years. In fact, he took my two kids out sucker spearing when they were little kids. Remember up there on the creek? I'm convinced that if we do not put out a bill, we go on the ballot a year from now, that we're not going to have this opportunity again, one. And number two, I'm convinced that if we put on the ballot and it fails, it fails. If we do not have, if we cannot pass it, it does not deserve to be passed. It's better taking it, passing it, and let the people vote on it than not passing it at all and giving them that opportunity. And if it goes down, it goes down. If it goes down, it goes down. I don't think it will. I think when you throw in clean water, and you throw in the game and fish, and you throw in the parks, and if there's some arts in there, so be it. The people can make this decision. But I really believe that just give the opportunity to people to do it. It's just before, if it goes down, it's down. It started in 1993. You know? So if it goes down, it goes down. I don't think it will. But we got to take that chance. And somewhere, Tony, I think that this is the time to do it. I really believe that.
Other questions from members? Anyone? Well, thank you very much for coming, Senator Lessard, and for giving us your perspective on this.
You know, in the Senate, we've got to wear suits and all that. You can come over here and actually act normal, like normal people.
So, and is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on the bill for or against? I do not see anyone else. We are going to adjourn, and we are going to meet 30 minutes after session tomorrow. At that time, we will be taking amendments unless, 30 minutes after session unless we advise you otherwise via email and other correspondence. 30 minutes after session. At that time, we will entertain more discussion and amendments. Questions? Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I assume that that's just the Game and Fish Committee, or is it...
That will be, Representative Osmond, that will be just the Game and Fish Committee, because this bill will then be referred, as the original motion was, to send it to Chairman Eakin's committee in the Environment Policy. That is the next stop. And since that was referred to us from Environment Policy, we do not have to have a floor session to refer it back to them under the rules. So we can do that rather expeditiously. Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chairman, because you'll be taking a vote on this then before it gets to the Environment Committee, I'd really encourage your committee support this bill. Today's testimony, for some reason, just really allowed for a light switch to go on. You know, I've been concerned about some of the provisions that have been in the previous proposals that I didn't feel really fell into the purview of the Constitution. But today, when we had, I think it was Mr. Jess, and you talked about the artwork that within the duck stamps and so forth. And I'm going,
That's how I know most of wildlife. I don't get a chance to go out in the woods, and when I get out in the woods, I can't find, you know, the wildlife. If it wasn't for art, and for the arts, pictures and paintings and so forth, I wouldn't really have the experience and even know what I would be looking for. And to me, today's testimony really helped tie it together. For now, as I'm looking through the list of items that would be in the Constitution, I do think they deserve constitutional support.
Anything else further from the members? Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you.